and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near of kin." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followedst not young men, whether rich, poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of meal, of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not rest until he hath finished the thing this day." Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank thee this morning for the holy word of God. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit of God who is here present. We pray that these precious things within the text we have read will be revealed to us by the Spirit Himself. And Father, if that be the case, all the honor and all the glory will be thine. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In our study of this precious woman named Ruth, we have seen the workings of a sovereign God as he works out the plan to bring Ruth, the Moabitish woman, the Gentile, into a relationship with Boaz the Jew, the kinsman redeemer, the precious picture of our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She's come from idolatrous Moab. Now as she gleans in the field of this wealthy man, she is to experience the blessing of a new relationship. If I gave the meditation this morning a title, I'd simply call it Ruth's Proposal. For really, that's what happened, wasn't it? Well, we'll enjoy the truth. Among the 80 maidens that possibly were working in the field of Boaz, the eye of Boaz fell on the rose from Moab named Ruth. And in a time, he offered her provisions of water and parched corn, as we noted yesterday. The same things that he enjoyed, she would enjoy. Beloved, you and I are privileged to enjoy the things of Christ, the things that he enjoys, of the Father, and all the blessings that are ours through him. We enjoy them, as does our beloved Lord and Savior. He offered her 2 protection. Said, "I've told the young men that they're not to touch you." Wasn't that precious? And so she could work and serve and glean in the field, knowing that the man who oversaw it all was the one who had provided for and would protect her. She was learning that there was true satisfaction and love to be found in him. Well, in the passage we've read this morning, I would like to think that we have rest in verses 1 to 5. We have recognition in 6 to 9. We have a reputation to be preserved in 10 to 14. While we have a reward in 15 through 18. Rest. Naomi desired a rest for her daughter. Now, her daughter-in-law. And this is the rest of a husband's love. And every mother here knows the desire that's born within her breast to make certain that her daughter and son too find rest in a happy marriage relationship. Naomi wanted a husband and a home and all the security they would provide for the young woman she loved so deeply and dearly. There are mothers here, and you have had the desire, no doubt, to have a godly husband for your daughter. You'll notice that I didn't say husband first. I said godly husband. And it's imperative, isn't it, that if our children who know Christ are to be truly happy and to know the rest that that relationship can give, then that man must be a godly man. And it's obvious that Boaz was. And the discerning eye and heart of Naomi had assessed that and realized it. And she realized that this was the man in the goodness of God for her dear Ruth. These were perilous times for young women and widows in Judea. There were times in which they needed to know the love, the protection, and the care of a male. Beloved, it's the same today in our dirty, rotten, polluted society. We see it today as we have never seen it before, the wickedness that abounds regarding relationships between the sexes. And so let us pray. I'm sure that many of us now are not necessarily praying for our children, but for theirs. It's our grandchildren, maybe our great-grandchildren. And we're praying to God first that He'll reach and save their precious souls, and then in His goodness provide them with godly husbands and godly wives. And so Ruth, back these centuries ago, she had that same longing that God would direct and bring into her family a man for her Ruth. Ruth had found God. Ruth knew the joy, as we noted yesterday in chapter 2 and verse 12, that very precious verse. The Lord recompense thy work, says Boaz, and the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. She trusted him. And so it would be that in the goodness of God, he would further bless her. She didn't know it, didn't know the final answer at the time. You and I have the privilege of having the story in print, and we know how the last chapter concludes. And so, Ruth had found God. Now she needed a husband. She had come to trust in God, and He was the one who could provide for every area of her life, just as He can in yours and in mine. Ruth was encouraged by the obvious interest of Boaz. And I'm sure as she related that interest to Naomi, why, Naomi too picked up the excitement of the love that Boaz was beginning to show to dear Ruth. And it's obvious, isn't it? Naomi then had a plan, and it was a bold plan, that she would present to Ruth so that this relationship might develop further. And so she explained it to Ruth. She encouraged her in this plan. She was to prepare herself, and she was to apply the aromatic lotions and oils and make herself attractive. Then she was to dress herself in the widow's garments that she wore to indicate her poverty in that area and yet her availability too, should the man so desire. And then, interestingly, she was to go down to the threshing floor and she was to watch him. Unnoticed by him, Ruth was there to watch. And after he had eaten, after he had drunk, and the word says his heart was merry, he was satisfied. I don't think he was in a drunken stupor or anything like that. But he was satisfied. Then he went to have his rest. And of course, he was on the threshing floor that night to guard and to protect his corn. That was his currency. That was how his wealth was measured. And he didn't want to lose it to any who might come and take it. And so he guarded it, and he laid down at the corn. As far as he was concerned, when he would fall asleep, he would take that long garment or blanket-like garment that he wore, and having laid himself down, he would put that over him to protect him from the coldness of the night. And that's where Ruth was instructed. Now, when he's fast asleep, you go and go up to him secretly or silently. Lay down at his feet and take a portion of that blanket the scripture calls his skirt and lay it over yourself. And then wait to see what happens. What a plan. I'm sure none of you dear sisters have ever conceived such a plan. But in keeping with a culture, it was all appropriate in the eyes of God. Ruth was in a position to be blessed under the Mosaic law. She qualified for blessing. She had a next of kin. And had we taken the time to turn back to Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 25, we would notice there that the next of kin had the right to redeem the inheritance, the mortgage, monies that an individual might have lost. And so he could do that. Secondly, he had the responsibility under God to take a widow like Ruth, who had not borne children, and did not have a male member to carry on the name. And it was his responsibility now to take that woman and through her to bear children in the name of her former husband, so that the name might be continued in Israel. And so that was the responsibility of the next of kin. It was interesting this morning as I read Deuteronomy chapter 25, 5 to 10, to learn that if the kinsman rejected his responsibility, that the one who was next of kin and he should redeem would take him to the elders. And before the elders, she would make the charge. And then she was instructed to take the man's shoe off. And then she spit in his face. And so, as far as the kinsman was concerned, he had a great responsibility. From then on in life, that man who rejected his responsibility would be known as the house of the loose shoe. Interesting. But as far as Boaz was concerned, I'm confident that was the farthest thing from his mind. And so Ruth has presented her, I'm sorry, Naomi has presented her bold plan. And Ruth is going to follow through on the advice of this godly, mature woman. It's nice when young people listen to the counsel of godly women. Young women. Young men to older women. Recently, or I should start the story back further, as a young teenager, a young woman was in our camp, maybe 25, 30 years ago. She trusted the Lord there. Went back to her home, into her assembly, and contrary to the advice of elders, married a man. Sadly, it ended in divorce as a result of unfaithfulness. But in the goodness of God, He brought them together again, and they remarried. But would you believe, again His unfaithfulness showed itself, and once again it ended in divorce. That dear woman, now in middle age or a little beyond, wrote me recently, and she said, "Arnett, I wish it were possible to get the largest megaphone and amplification system known to man. And if I could, I would blast the message to every young person. If an elder or elders advise you against marrying somebody, don't marry them." She learned the lesson the hard way. How sad. And so, may you and I encourage young people to listen. Although their heart may be directly opposed to what we feel is godly counsel, praying to the Lord for wisdom and help, may they listen to us. Well, Ruth has prepared herself as instructed, and down she goes to the threshing floor. I thought of her this morning as I was meditating, and I thought of last evening in Nicodemus. He came to the Redeemer at night, and so did Ruth. She came to the kinsman Redeemer at night, and that was the time she was told to come. And God worked in her heart to respond. And what did she do? She did again as she was told. She placed herself at the feet of the man who could redeem her. What a picture of contrition. What a picture of confession of need. I have no one else to whom I know I can go. Boaz, you're the one, and I place myself at your feet as she appeals for grace. How about you and me? We were desperately in need of grace. We were sinners on the broad and crowded road leading to the eternal burnings. The only one who could possibly help us was the one who had come to redeem. Isn't it interesting? Ruth had to take the initiative. She knew of his redemptive ability, but she was the one who had to get at his feet. Beloved, it was that way with us. We had to be prepared to confess our sin and tell him that we were lost and undone. Then we had the assurance of this holy book. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we did it, and he saved us. Oh, how wonderful. And so here's Ruth following the plan that she has been instructed to carry out. As far as Boaz was concerned, there was something I believe. As one man looks at another man, there was something that was attractive in Ruth as far as Boaz was concerned. Remember when we first met them? He's come into the field and he speaks to his foreman. Out of all those women, he singles out this one. He said, "Who's that woman?" Oh, why? That's the young widow named Ruth who came with Naomi from Moab. He had an eye for her. He saw her. He was attracted by her. beloved. So it was that in all of our need and in all of our guilt, our beloved Lord, don't ask me how or why, but he was attracted toward you and me, and he wanted us to be with him in eternity, for all eternity. What a Savior. What a picture. What a Redeemer that our Lord Jesus Christ should have a love for us and desire to have us with him, not only for time, but for all of eternity. There was recognition in 6 to verse 9. Ruth did first as she was told. The evening meal served. Boaz is now satisfied, and he lays down beside his heap of grain. He did exactly what Naomi had told Ruth he would do, and he took his long garment, and he covered himself to protect himself from the cold. Ever so quietly, and all unknown to him, Ruth takes a place at his feet. She takes a portion of his blanket and throws it over her. What did she want? She wanted the warmth and the protection that could come alone from the kinsman redeemer. This place of submission, there she is, at his feet. But then, the hours go on. The midnight hour approaches. And something causes Boaz to stir. And as he does, his feet touch something that wasn't there when he first laid down. And he, in consternation and wonderment, asks what it is. And she addresses him. Notice in verse 9, and he said, "Who art thou?" I'm sure that there must have been a tone of concern, if not annoyance. "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth. I am Ruth, thine handmaiden. I am placing myself at your entire disposal. I'm your handmaiden." And notice what she said. "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaiden, for thou art a near kinsman." This was what she longed he would do, that by that act he would show to her, first, he cared. Secondly, he was prepared to protect. And so, that he did. He had commended her for seeking refuge under Jehovah's mighty wing back in chapter 2 and verse 12. It's such a precious verse. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Boaz, if she's come to trust in the God of Israel, and she's asking to come under your protection, how can you deny her? He couldn't. I'm confident he wanted to. He must provide for her. Ruth has recognized in him a kinsman redeemer. He was the only one, as far as she knew. He had interest, and he had shown love. And she wanted him. Wasn't that the case in our salvation? He loved us. He showed his love. He came to Calvary. And then when we came to him to acknowledge our sin and ask his forgiveness, he granted it in his own sovereign way. Boaz is eligible, and he appears willing. Notice verse 11 of our chapter. Isn't it an affectionate way that he speaks to her? "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people know that thou art a virtuous woman." a virtuous woman. Beloved, we were sinners, but still we were loved. This virtuous woman, take time in your day, if you have it, to read Proverbs 31, and you'll see Ruth there, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. But then, something interesting happens. Notice again, this time verse 12. And now, it is true, he says, that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. You know what that verse tells me? That tells me that as far as Boaz was concerned, he'd already checked it out. He wanted to be her near kinsman. He wanted the joy, the pleasure, the responsibility of making Ruth his. And he knew that there was someone in the line of kinsmen who was actually closer to Ruth than he. And so, he says, I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. And as we read it, we wonder, as no doubt Ruth did, how is it all going to end? Is the plan that has been so skillfully designed by Naomi and carried out by Ruth, will the love and the interest that has been shown by Boaz, at least in a surface type of way, is it all going to end for naught? Well, we know the story, but we won't discuss it now. We'll do that tomorrow morning. But as far as this virtuous woman is concerned, Boaz was most certainly interested in making her his. Action must be taken by Boaz. And as a model of integrity and honesty, Boaz gives instruction. He says in verse 13, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well. You know, that tells me something else. That as far as Boaz was concerned, he was serious about this. He didn't say, well, you know, give me a call in a week and I'll let you know how it goes. He says, tomorrow morning I'll get into action and I'll know the situation at that time. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part to thee as the Lord liveth. He's really taking an oath here. Lie down until the morning. Just be at rest until the morning. I think this is a further indication that Boaz did not want Ruth to leave in the darkness and the blackness of the night. Anything could happen to her. By those on the dark streets of the town. The revelers, as they came out of the bar or whatever, could have taken her and assaulted her. He says, you stay right at my feet, where I know you're safe. Oh, beloved, I like that. You know, God set his love on you and me. And possibly there was a time that through the Spirit of God, he had to gently nurture us, and lead us, and draw us to himself. And so, Boaz said, you just stay here, right where you are. You stay at my feet until the morning. Tarry this night. He did not want the object of his love leaving in the darkness of that early morning hour. He had given her the assurance, I will do the part of the kinsman. And you know, you and I had that assurance, didn't we? We knew that if we played our part and acknowledged our sin, claimed the Savior, he would do our part. Him that cometh unto me, I will never cast out. I love another rendering and it puts it this way. Him that cometh unto me, I will never, no never, no never cast out. The word is a triple negative. And so you and I had that assurance. As we came to him, tarry this night, and she would enjoy the love and the protection of the man she longed to be her kinsman redeemer. And notice what she did. She laid at his feet until the morning. May I take it slightly out of its context and say this? Beloved, you and I know the kinsman redeemer. And he says to you and he says to me this morning, to stay at my feet until the morning. And the morning is soon to dawn. We're soon to hear the shout. The night will be past and we're out of here. We go to glory. Just stay at his feet. Oh, what a precious place of protection as we await the return of our beloved Lord. And so, there was rest for Ruth and the assurance that she, if it was God's will, would have a husband and she would know the rest of the care of a godly man. So Ruth rose in the gray, murky dawn, now unidentifiable as far as the passers-by would be concerned. But off she goes. What happens? Why, before she leaves, why, Boaz speaks to her and he says, now, bring me that shawl that you have. And what does he do? He fills it with grain. He actually put within that shawl 58 to 90 pounds of grain. And then he helped her to get it into the carrying position on her head. And then he sent her home. What was it? I believe, beloved, it was an earnest. It was a promise that this man meant to be a blessing to dear Ruth. One is reminded of the goodness of God toward us. As we read it, the sealing of the by the Spirit in Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest, the Holy Spirit is the earnest. It's the promise that we have within us until the redemption of the promised possession in that time when we will be in the glory. Beloved, how do you know you're going to be in heaven? How do I know I'm going to be in heaven? I have an earnest. I have a promise. I have a guarantee within my heart. The Spirit of God indwells me as He indwells you. And just as surely as that is the case this morning, so assuredly will we be in His presence when the shout is heard. How wonderful, how exciting. And so she goes home with this confidence and this assurance. Well, you know what happened. Verse 16, Naomi couldn't sleep all night. What mother wouldn't have been in that position? As you prayed through the night and you were concerned and just wondering how things were going to go. And so, as she comes in, Ruth, in the early dawn, who art thou, my daughter? Poor rendering. A rendering that we can understand would simply be this. Ruth, how did it go? What happened? And I'm sure that that dear young woman couldn't wait to lay her burden down. Oh, what a night she had. She'd spoken to the man that she loved, and he had given her the assurance that he would redeem her. And if that were not enough, why, look what he gave me. This big bundle of grain, the assurance that he will carry through with his promise. And so, Naomi watches her daughter-in-law, no doubt as she paces back and forth on the floor, wondering, you know, how is it going to be when the light arrives and Boaz goes to that other man? Would he say, no, I'm going to redeem her? And she was in knots, no doubt, inside. So, in her restlessness and her impatience, Naomi addresses her, and she says, Ruth, sit still. Just sit still. Wait for God to work it out. We've all had that advice at one time or another, haven't we? And it's been so hard to heed and to accept. But Naomi again draws on her experience And she knows that this man, he too, will not be satisfied until this matter is settled. Notice verse 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." Get this. "For the man will not rest until he hath finished the thing this day." This will be the day, Ruth. This man will not be able to rest until he is confident that all is clear and all is well, so that he might make you his very own. What a picture. We were at Calvary a night or two ago. By faith, we heard the shout of the victor. "It is finished." He bowed his head and dismissed the spirit. The work was done. That would, by the sovereign grace of God, bring you and me, beloved, into vital living contact with the Lord who loved us. Yes. And you know what? He's at rest now. And we're at rest. Just waiting the day when we hear the shout. And we're waiting that shout. I repeat what I have said before. I believe the shout will soon be heard. Wouldn't it be great to hear it at Park of the Palms and go to heaven from this lovely place that's been a blessing to so many down through the years? Beloved, it is nearer this morning than it has ever been, and it could happen today. So just be at rest in Him. He's at rest, and He's just waiting for the Father to turn to Him and say, "Child, my children, come home." And at the command of the Father, the Son rises to call us into His glorious presence. What a moment it will be. Let's pray together. It will be soon, shall we? Father, we thank Thee for Thy love. We thank Thee for our heavenly kinsman. Father, may he come to the close of his rest period, and we ours, as he rises to call us into his presence. We thank you, Father. The day is coming when he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Thank you for the prospect. Bless us now, please, each one through this day, and all who are here on the grounds. We pray in our Savior's precious name. Amen.